three words. That might come to mind when we're thinking about a series entitled Loving in a Biblical Way, lessons from Song of Songs. Three words.
I. What do you think is the second word? And the third? Thank you so much. I love you is probably very predictable. When we're talking about Song of Songs, where we've got a book in the Bible that doesn't mention God, but it's talking about love, and love is from God because God is love. And it says in the New Testament, in 1 John, anyone who knows love knows something about God because God is love. So this book in the Bible that doesn't mention God but is talking about love between a husband and a wife, written in 960 BC, and we get into the chapters where they describe one another. They don't actually say those three words, I love you. But sometimes we can say those words, I love you, to our spouses, to the boyfriend or girlfriend that we've got, or to our children, or to our friends, or to our parents. We might say it to God, and we say it very quickly, and it's, well, maybe we wait to say it until we really mean it, and then sometimes we can say it very quickly. And these three words, I love you, are really, really important. But I want to introduce you to three words that help us love someone, and also help us love God, and also help us love our friends and family, because, as I said last week, Song of Songs needs to be read on three levels. Sorry, this isn't working. Could we just go to the three-level slide, please, Lois? There we go, three levels. On a spiritual level, how we relate to God. On a sexual level, how we relate to our spouse. As I said last week, it's written in 960 BC. This book is talking about sexual intimacy between a man and a woman, one man, one woman. And in that time, in that context, it was assumed that that would only be within a marriage relationship. It wouldn't be outside of a marriage relationship. Anything else would have been impure and adultery. And therefore, we interpret the sexual intimacy that it describes as between one man and one woman within a marriage. And then the third level is how we relate with one another, societal level. And the three words from today are really important. I see you. I see you. A little child, peekaboo, I see you. A teenager who's really acting up and kind of rebelling and things like that. What are they actually saying inside? They're saying, notice me. I just want to be seen. And actually, I see you is the answer to the cry of so many human cries throughout history. In Genesis, in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 16, there's a lady, she was a slave woman, she's just had a child, and she's thrown out of the family. And she's sent away into a wild place, a wilderness place. And she meets God there. And she talks with God there. And she spills out her heart with God there. And she says, I have come to know that you're the God who sees me. The God who sees me. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, where in Revelation 21, God is there face to face with people, living with them, living right in amongst them, and he wipes away every tear from our eyes. He can see us if he's wiping away those tears. So from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, God is saying, I see you. If you're not in a marriage, or if you're in a marriage, if you're in a relationship or out of a relationship, if you're widowed or single out of choice or not, well, no one would choose to be widowed, but single out of choice or not. If you're same-sex attracted, or if you're opposite-sex attracted, whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever sexual relationship you're in or not in, you need to know this morning, God sees you. As we come into this book, the Song of Songs, and into some chapters where, as I said last week, I would read them as a child and go, because it's got kind of Rudy bits. The principle that we need to draw from it is that someone is noticing that other person and saying, you're worthy of being noticed. I see you. I notice you. And isn't that our desire, if we're honest? In chapter 3 of Song of Songs, we read these words. All night long on my bed, I looked for the one my heart loves. I looked for him, but did not find him. I will get up now, and I will go about the city through its streets and squares. I will search for the one my heart loves. So I looked for him, but I did not find him. The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city. Have you seen the one my heart loves? Scarcely had I passed them when I found the one my heart loves. I held him and I would not let him go till I had brought him to my mother's house, to the room of the one who conceived me. In chapter 3, in chapter 2, in chapter 5 of Song of Songs, there's this hide and seek almost kind of game. Hence the picture of hide and seek, where this husband and wife are searching out for one another, and then they're separating and searching out for one another. They find each other and then they separate. And it's like a game of hide and seek. But in these verses, as in some of the other ones, there's that yearning of seeking out the other person and finding them. On Thursday, we had our second monthly morning of prayer and prophecy as church leaders locally. We've called it the well to drink deeply of Jesus. And as we were listening, someone just sensed that God was saying, leaders, take me at my word. God's saying to church leaders locally, take me at my words. So I prayed, God, what part of your word do you want us to take you at? What do you want us to hold on to and cling to and things? The first one, first verse that came was this from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12 to 14. And so often we read verse 11, God knows the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. But in verse 12 it says this, and this is three verses that God highlighted for us as leaders, that when we call on God and come and pray to him, he will listen to us. When we seek him, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. If we want to play a game of hide and seek with God, I don't recommend it. Naturally, in our sin, we will try and hide ourselves from God. In the same way that when we're not feeling secure with a spouse, we might go a little bit like that. Or if we're out of relationship or friendship with someone, we might turn away from them. Or if we've done something that we're a bit ashamed of and we don't want them to know, we will turn away from them in our shame. Don't play hide and seek with God. Just play seek and seek. Because God's word then says this, and he says, take me at my word. I will be found by you, says the Lord, declares the Lord. It's not just a throwaway remark, it's a declaration. And God is saying this morning, I see you, And if you seek me, you'll find me. What's that got to do with relationships? What's that got to do with the spouse or sexual relationship and the societal one? Can you remember those three levels? We need to be people who seek out others, who notice them. If you look around, who's missing this morning from who normally comes along? Have you noticed? One of your friends, one of our church family, who isn't here? Have you noticed them? Who's had a new haircut since last Sunday? Have you noticed? One of the ladies in the first service, a widow, she came in and sat down. I said, nice haircut. Because she'd had her haircut since last week. God is calling us not to just seek him out, but to seek others out and notice them. We're going to unpack that in a moment. But let's read some of these things. And I'll do a warning first. As we read chapter 4 and some verses from chapter 5 and make reference to chapter 6 and 7, is it prescriptive or descriptive? Well, we need to know when we're reading Scripture that some things in Scripture are prescriptive. They tell us what to do and how to do it. Some things are descriptive. It's describing what's happening at the time and in that context and specifically between these people. This passage is descriptive. I don't recommend that you use the exact words. But when there are descriptive passages, like in Song of Songs, like in some of the history books, like in some of the lists of names and clans and descendants and things like that, when they're just descriptive passages, we need to draw out principles. We need to draw out truths that God wants us to hold on to. The reason why I say it's descriptive and not prescriptive is this is what the woman looks like from Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 1-11. How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are doves. Can you see there are little doves in her eyes? Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from the hills of Gilead. Your teeth. Wow, what teeth. Are like a flock of sheep just shorn coming up from the washing. And you get the image. Don't describe your loved ones like this. You go to a friend, hey, you're looking like an elephant today. It's not going to be helpful. Don't take this as prescriptive instruction from the Bible. What is the principle, though? I've slowed down enough to notice what your hair is like. I've slowed down enough to notice that your eyes are beautiful. Your teeth are really clean. I've noticed that your neck is really strong like a tower. And that when you speak, it is sweet, down in verse 11, your lips drop sweetness as the honeycomb, my bride. Milk and honey are under your tongue. That when this person has slowed down to intentionally listen to their bride, they delight in those words. The principle is to slow down enough to take notice. Can you remember there are three levels? Spiritual, sexual with spouse, and then societal with friends, family, teams, neighbours and things. Slowing down to notice. Not just to describe the woman, but here's the description of the man from chapter 5. My beloved is radiant and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. His head is pure as gold. His hair is wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the water streams, washed in milk, mounted like jewels. Now, it might be that some of you take these descriptions and think, I'm going to take it as a description that is a good thing to follow, and I'm going to write something to my loved one for Friday. Guys, it's Valentine's Day on Friday. Don't forget it. If you remember only three things from this message, it's Valentine's Day on Friday. God sees you, knows you, and loves you. And there's an encouragement for you to take notice. In chapter 5, we see this description of the man with the wife describing the man in this way. In chapter 6, there's another description. In chapter 7, there's another. What are the principles for us to take from it? Each of us would have seen this before, a rainbow. Maybe not this picture, but you've seen a rainbow before. Whenever you see a rainbow, do you say, oh, there's a rainbow? I do. Or I think it, oh, there's a rainbow. So often we will see something, think, oh yeah, we've seen a rainbow, and then move on. I want us to be a church family that, whether it's within our marriages, in other relationships or friendships, or with God, we slow down enough to notice and then either say something or give thanks to God or encourage someone. So did you notice the joy that was in the room when Shona was doing the verse? Did you notice that she was just in the zone? She's been made to just lead people in scripture and in worship and delighting in that. And there was joy released in the room. I'm saying it not to embarrass you. I'm just saying it because we noticed you. Well, I did. What difference would it make if someone in our church said to someone else in our church, I noticed how you walked into church this morning and you looked as if you're a bit tired or a bit burdensome. Can I help at all? What difference would it make if in our marriages we noticed our spouses and encourage them about what they sound like, what they look like, and not just like, you're looking fit, but actually saying, you know that part of your neck? I really like that. Being specific rather than just general. What if we said it to God? We can easily say, I love you, Lord. I love you. And it's so wonderful to say, I love you, God. But what if we slowed down enough to take notice of something of God's character, something so beautiful, not just that he's created, but that he is the creator of a rainbow, and therefore how much more amazing is he? That he can actually split light into different colors. I love you for that, Lord. Do we slow down enough to notice and then say something to God in worship? Something specific. I love you, Lord, for what you're doing in this area of our ministry as a church. I love you, Lord, because you have brought a little child into the world. Or I love you, Lord, because you have done amazing things in our seniors ministry. Or I love you, Lord, because in the rain and the cold yesterday, there was a group from our church willing to go and pray for people and just be a beacon of light and hope on the streets. Slowing down and just giving praise to God for specific things. Or will we be people who see a rainbow and go, oh, it's a rainbow, and move on? Familiarity breeds contempt. If you are in a marriage, you may have seen your spouse thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times. But what if today you chose to see them like the first time when you woke after your wedding day and just thought, I'd love them so much. We got married yesterday and they're just there. And wow, I get to spend the rest of my life with this person. What if we treated that our spouse in that way? And I know sometimes it's hard, but surely they deserve that fresh love every morning. Or even if they don't deserve it, because God has given us that fresh love every morning, you're going to give it and ask God's Holy Spirit to give you strength for that. What if we slowed down enough for when our children, who wind us up a treat at times, come into a room and we pay attention to them and we show them that we've noticed them? But we've seen them hundreds of times. Yeah, but today I'm going to choose to notice them. I'm just putting six things up to try and be practical. Try and help us not just read God's word or hear God's word, but actually apply it. And I've made them general enough so that they can be applied on three levels. On a spiritual level with God, a societal level with other people, and a sexual level with our spouses. I've said about slowing down and noticing. Be intentional. If you aren't intentional, you're intending for something potentially not to happen. And if you want your relationship, if you want your friendship, if you want your walk with God to grow and be invested in, if you want to accept the invite to intimacy that we thought about last week, if you want to accept that, you need to invest in it. And investment is intentional. So be intentional. Choose to notice. Maybe it means putting this down a little bit more often. Or a computer away. Or being present at home. Or being present in a friendship. The third one, have integrity in your observation and sharing it. Don't just say fluffy things for the sake of it. Things that you don't necessarily mean. Have integrity with it. So if, I said about a neck earlier on, if you're making a comment about the neck, you're saying, that's the best neck in the whole world. They could turn around and say, no, it's not. You're lying. And you think, okay, yeah, I didn't mean it. I've said that, and I'm really sorry I didn't. I try to run every illustration, if it includes Nikki or the children, I run it past them before I preach it. If I say that kind of comment to Nikki, she may go, no, it's not. My response, because I do mean it, is it's the best one in my eyes. You might be thinking, oh, that's nice. But I need that kind of approach because that's the kind of approach I need God to have with me. Because if God doesn't have that approach with me, where he delights in us as his children, for all who believe in him and receive him, that's John chapter 1, verse 12, we get given the right to become children of God. And if he's our Father and he chooses to delight in us, we need him to look over or look past our imperfections. We need him to look at us and say, I see all of that, but I still love you and I delight in you. So if God does that for us, then surely we should be able to do that with other people as well, whether they're our spouses or our children or our friends or our teammates. Have integrity in our observation and sharing it. Declare it, but do so appropriately. In the world, it's very much show all and tell all. Show everything that you have, like in these verses, and tell all. Well, they've written it down so everyone can read it. Oh, hang on. This book, Song of Songs, is sharing something very, very, very intimate. I would not want to see your love letters for one another, because that's yours. And there are some things that are appropriate to keep within that intimate marriage. Why? Because last week when we looked at that word chamber, that innermost place, that private space, God is saying there are some things that are to be guarded that we don't allow people in unless they're our spouses or our close, close family. So we're not going to share all publicly. We're going to keep some things for private. We're not going to bear all, tell all. We're going to choose to declare things in an appropriate place in an appropriate way. Said number five, allow yourself to have love blindness. Kind of hinted at that. This, what I was saying about number three with have integrity. We need God to have love blindness with us, so that, like the lover says in chapter 4, verse 7, there is no flaw in you. We need God to have love blindness, that when he looks at us through Christ on the cross, and he says, because of what Jesus has done, I see no flaw in you. So we choose to see people through the eyes of Christ and have love blindness and say, yeah, I see all of those things, but I'm choosing not to emphasize those things. I see you as God sees you. And I want to encourage you in that. I want to say what I see in you from God's perspective. And number six, be specific rather than general. Some homework. Some heart work. For those in BSF, you'll know the difference between homework and heart work. Things to do by next week. At one point in your quiet times with God, be specific in saying to him, God, I love you for this one thing. And if you can only think of one thing, that's okay. If you are in a marriage, can you just have a go at finding one thing that you love about your other half and tell them that? It might be that you come up with two things. It might be that you can only think of one. But be specific and share it with them. I'm really proud of you for what you do in work. Or the way that you've made this meal and put effort into it. I love how you've done that. Or I love how you always try to keep short accounts with people, that as far as it depends upon you, you try to live at peace with everyone. Choose to be specific rather than just saying generally, I love you. I believe God wants us to be people who pursue, who see, who notice, who then delight and encourage and bless not just our spouses, not just our family and friends or team, but actually love in a biblical way and love him in a biblical way and notice what he's like.